From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session coming to you today from our brand new performance studio. And joining me is Mr. Terry Robb. Hello.
Hey, nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Thank you so much for stopping by. I know you've got a couple of gigs here in the area, and we're doing this mid-afternoon. The newest record is called Cool on the Bloom. There is another new one due out sometime soon. We'll talk about it in a bit. Yeah. Terry Robb with 2Bs.com is the place to go.
Yes.
I mentioned Portland. You are originally from British Columbia, though, correct?
I am. Vancouver, BC.
Canadian blues virtuoso.
We were just up there playing at the Vancouver International Guitar Festival, and it was great to be back in my hometown.
What was it that brought you to Portland initially?
My dad got transferred.
What kind of work was he in?
He was in insurance, and he got transferred from Vancouver to Pittsburgh. And then he got transferred to Portland, so it was nothing very romantic. nothing like I escaped or anything like that.
Well, but something about Portland must have worked, because you've been there now quite a while.
Yeah, well, back in the day, you know, it was quite a music scene. It still is, but it's the music scene was great, so it was a great place to work out of. A lot
Has
of
it
good
changed?
Music came out. It's changed in the sense that there's more indie-type bands going on and that sort of thing, but it's still huge. And Portland is getting to be a very crowded city now. There's a lot of people moving there. It's been voted as the most desirable place to move to.
You said that with a little bit of hesitation. Do you still like living there?
Yeah, well, I do. We like living there a lot. The only thing is it's crowded, and it's not really prepared for the crowdedness. Yeah.
Yeah, having grown up in Seattle, I know that feeling a lot.
There you go.
Right? You can't exactly build roads out over the water or,
absolutely.
Or into the hillside.
Yeah.
Let's go back in time a little bit. Tell me what it was that first inspired you to pick up the acoustic guitar.
Okay, well, when I was a kid, I grew up with a family that everybody was really listening to music. My dad took me to see the Beatles. He took me to see Louis Armstrong. We were just always to symphony. And then the Beatles showed up on TV, and everybody went out and got a guitar, and I was one of them, you know, because, and my uncle was a swing guitar player, and he was associated with Lawrence Welk. And so it was around, you know. At that time in the mid-60s, there was just guitars, you know, folk music, rock and roll. And then there was a blues revival going on. A lot of these old blues guys are being rediscovered and reissued on record. And I just was drawn to it.
Hmm. Yeah. It's worked.
Well, yeah, I'm very grateful that I'm able to make a living doing what I do.
Yeah. There are a lot of different subgenres within the blues.
Absolutely.
And we're just going to barely scratch the surface on some of them today, because you have absorbed many of them to result in what we hear from you on record and in live performance. Mm-hmm. What do you want to do first for us today? And tell me a little bit about not only the name of the tune, but the style.
Well, I'm going to do a shuffle, blues kind of in the vein of, say, Lightnin' Hopkins or Big Bill Brunzi. It's a song I wrote. It's called Still on Highway 101, and I'm going to do a little medley of that in a song called Sock Hop off of Cool on the Bloom.
It's okay? Terry Robb, live on Jefferson Public Radio.
Thank you.
Well, you have just made a number of guitarists in this area head to the pier to throw the instrument off.
Oh, well, if they're nice guitars, I want to go there and catch them.
Wow. Tell me, speaking of guitars, tell me a little bit about this Martin that you're playing. Why do you play this size, this style of guitar?
Well, this is a 1947 018, Martin 018, and I like the, it's real punchy. The little ones are comfortable. They fit in the overhead. And they're a little deeper, so they have a nice, they look, they're small, but they're deceiving because they have a little punchy bass to them, you know.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about what was going on in that tune. You mentioned a shuffle, a couple of different things.
Playing a shuffle, playing a melody and some chords at the same time, doing some different turnarounds, and then I went into kind of a guitar boogie thing. You know, and just kind of mixed it up, and there you go.
Did you take structured lessons early on?
I didn't.
All self-taught?
Yeah, I learned off of records and going to see people. I mean, like I said, a lot of these old blues guys and country musicians and rock and roll, they were around still. And there weren't any books out, like the tablature or anything like that. So it was it developed your ear really well by doing that. You know, and you would go see a rock concert, and it'd be some rock band, Led Zeppelin or something, and, you know, Albert King would be opening, or B.B. King or somebody. So you got exposed to this stuff whether you wanted to or not.
Some of that usually starts out with a heap of emulation and a bit of inspiration, and then as you get better and more proficient, it sort of flip-flops a little bit, right?
Yeah,
more of your individuality starts to shine
Absolutely.
Through.
And I, you know, I'm influenced by all kinds of music. You know, not just blues and country and jazz. I play jazz songs. I'm not a jazz guitar player, but my technique I learned was blues guitar. Mm. So no matter what I play, it's going to have that sound to it. Like if you hear a classical guitar player playing, a pop song by Paul Simon, it's going to have a little classical kind of feel to it.
Right. Well, I think a lot of the most famous jazzers would all say that it's just all the blues.
It is. Well, the blues is part of the American music. I mean, it's in bluegrass, it's in country, it's in everything. It's just, that's the scale.
You have once said that it's hard to talk about music because it's meant to be listened to.
I said that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you struggle to talk about all of the different intricacies of the music that you create, all of the different subgenres and styles and approaches to finger picking?
No, not really. It's just, it's hard to kind of define sometimes because there's so many influences, so many things going on, you know, that it's hard to pin. When you think about one thing, you forget about another. But I just absorb whatever's around me. And I just, if I hear a melody on the radio, I think it's really nice. I'll throw it in and then throw in some different chords behind it.
Yeah. I mean, one of the terms that I have come across, not only with you, but with other performers as well, and it's so difficult to pair something that you read to an audio clip of it until you really get an understanding, is this Travis style.
Oh, that.
What does that mean?
Travis is this. Alternating bass. Alternating bass.
Between a couple of strings with your thumb, yeah?
The bass line is going back and forth. And that's like... he got it from some old blues guys. Some blues guys showed that to him. And so that's Travis. They call it Travis picking because he popularized it because he was on TV and he made popular records. And then Chet Atkins took it another place. But it's just an alternating bass style that's been around long before him. And he was great. I love Merle Travis is who we're talking about. Then there's monotonic, where the bass is not alternating. It's just, so if you play that, if you play this, alternating bass, so if you go, it has a whole different vibe to it.
But it still works.
It's the same, you're doing the same thing, you're just not alternating the bass.
So when did you get to a point where you decided that it was worthwhile to try to start making some money at Plan?
Oh, well, when I was in high school,
I didn't ask when you started making money. I asked when you thought that it was worth a chance to try to start making some money.
Well, I had bands, you know, like, in high school, and we blues bands, and they, you know, wasn't very popular back then, but we played dances and stuff, and you got paid, and you just went out and played, and you made some money, and I joined a guy, I played with this guy named Ramblin' Rex, who was associated with Frank Zappa, and he kind of showed me the ropes, and I started making a living with him, and I guess the question would be, when did I decide to go off on my own, and I think I knew that I had to go do my own thing early on. But, Yeah, I mean, you would go places and make maybe, you know, a few bucks here and there, and then eventually you get into how to really do it. And, yeah.
You have gone in a bunch of different directions. I know mm-hmm. that you have produced a bunch of records.
I have.
Worked for a record company or for a studio?
I was always independent.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did you get into doing that for others?
John Fahey.
And then how have you taken all of that knowledge and applied it to your own music?
Oh, well, I know how to make records now, and I know the technology, and I know what... I mean, I listened to a lot of records when I was growing up. I mean, I have an encyclopedic mind about how records sounds and what... Oh, I can tell you what label that was on. You know, that's
based
a Chess
on its
record.
Sonic yeah, quality?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and I can tell you why you're not hearing the bass, because they didn't have the fidelity then to get it. But one of my favorite guitar players was John Fahey, and he and I became friends, and I was really young. I was in my early 20s, and he asked me to produce a record for him. And I said, sure, because I knew his music really well, so I think is why he asked me. I knew him. I knew his music well. I knew what it would take. And that got me going. He kind of showed me the route, how to do that, and he also was very generous for doing that. Hmm. Yeah.
I'd love to hear another tune. Will you play something else? What's next?
Let me play a little ragtime music.
There is something. That is Terry Robb playing for us live here on Jefferson Public Radio. His newest record is called Cool on the Bloom. Information is at terryrobb.com. I am reminded of the time sitting in our studio with Tommy Emmanuel watching
oh,
you
yeah,
play
Tommy
because
Emmanuel.
There are good players and there are insanely good players, yeah. And you are in the latter category.
Well, thank you,
friend.
Sir. Thank you.
It's amazing to watch all that is going on as you are playing.
Yeah, thank you.
A couple of years ago, you put out a record called Him.
I did.
And I find it interesting that you took that playing style or that language and applied it to gospel and spiritual tunes.
I did.
Was that a stretch, or did those tunes fall easily in your vocabulary?
It was fun, you know, because I was given the material. I picked a few of the tunes, but I was given the material from the Oregon Catholic Press. But I had done Christmas records before, so it wasn't too far of a stretch. You know, I did a few Christmas records with Fahey, because he was kind of known for that. And then I did one of my own for the same company, the Oregon Catholic Press. So it was a challenge to make some of those songs work with the way I play, and it was really fun. Hmm. I like that record.
I mean, a lot of gospel music is very closely associated with the blues, but some of the spirituals are about as far from that bluesy feel as you could imagine.
Yeah. You just, like I said, no matter what I play, it's going to kind of sound that way. It's going to come out that way.
So. It's sort of someone talking with an accent. It doesn't matter if they're reading the newspaper or a cookbook. It still sounds like
them.
You're
still
from
Italy, right? Yeah, right. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Do you feel like you're still learning at this point?
Absolutely. I practice all the time, and I'm always learning new stuff. Always. I wish I had more time to practice.
Do you still have much time to listen to other folks?
I don't get to hear live stuff as much as I'd like to, but I try to listen to anything new that comes, you know, that you hear. You know.
Who is coming up now that inspires you?
There's a bunch of young guys out there playing like...
Electric or acoustic?
Well, both. Yeah. I hear a lot of good like retro country guys that I like. Young people doing like the old style country and old timey stuff. And there's a lot of younger women playing the guitar now, which is really great, doing their own thing on blues and contemporary fingerstyle like Tommy Manuel. I see a lot of younger women doing that, and electric guitar too.
I think Molly Tuttle just won the International Bluegrass Music Association's Guitarist of the Year, I think.
Oh, that's terrific.
Age of 21 or 22 or something like
that. That's great.
We mentioned electric. You do play electric guitar, but you have talked about how primarily you're playing electric when you're doing work for other people's records or film work or stuff like that. Not so much when you're just out solo on tour.
No, I don't. I play acoustic guitar and I play solo because I try to do the whole band thing. But I like to play electric guitar. I just don't have a band right now. You know, and to play electric guitar, I kind of like to have a band behind me.
Is it hard to do or impossible? And I'm going to sound like a totally ignorant music fan now. Is it impossible or difficult to play the kind of stuff you play on an electric because the strings ring too long?
No, I kind of play the guitar the same way. It's just you do more single notes things and stuff like that. But it's just that with the electric guitar, I kind of like to have more of a band behind me, and I like the acoustic guitar is really nice for solo because that has a big kind of transparent sound.
Yeah, it's nice and intimate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There is a new record coming.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what's in store, and when can we expect it?
Probably in the spring, and I do solo stuff, mostly all original, and I recorded with the acoustic guitar with the rhythm section a few songs, and it's kind of like Jimi Hendrix's Band of Gypsies with acoustic instruments, upright bass, drums, and guitar. Dave Capteen plays bass, and Gary Hobbs plays drums. So we got a few songs like that, and the rest is solo. And I'm pretty excited about it. I went for a really big sound this time in terms of mixing with the reverb and all that stuff. It was really fun.
When is that due out?
I would say maybe April, something like that.
Yeah, okay, so it's still a ways out.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We will look forward to it.
Thanks, Eric.
Terry Robb is my guest today on Jefferson Public Radio. His latest is called Cool on the Bloom. You can find information on Terry and his music at terryrobb2bs.com. Before I have you play one last tune, I see that there is another guitar in the background.
Oh, yes.
Is that more of a support instrument, or do you...
That's my slide guitar. It's an old National guitar that I put a pickup on. It's a 1950 National, and I use it to play slide on.
Right on. All right. Well, what do you want to wrap up with today?
I'll do a song off my Cool on the Bloom called So Glad. It's a blues song I wrote. I'm so glad that I was wrong. so glad. I'm so glad that I was wrong. You know my heart was filled with sorrow. You came to me, now it's gone. Well, you could see that I was troubled. I was tied to a foolish thought. You could see that I was troubled, that I was chained to a foolish thought. But with your love, the sorrow ended. You whispered light into the dawn. My days are all tomorrows, and my nighttime all yesterday. My days are all tomorrows, and my nighttime all yesterday. But with your love, the sorrow ended. I'm in your arms now, let it stay. So glad. The sorrow ended. I'm in your arms now, let it stay.
That is Terry Robb playing for us live today here on Jefferson Public Radio. The newest record is Cool on the Bloom. Terry Robb, ROBB.com, the place to go online to learn and hear more. Terry, it's nice to meet you. Thank you for coming by.
You too, Eric. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.